In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, in Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, and in the Gospel of Luke, in the chapter number 8, there are three different versions of a parable spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ. That parable, that story is known as the parable of the sower, or the parable of the sower and the seed. It is, I believe, one of the Lord's greatest parables. And it teaches us basically the importance of hearing God's word correctly. In connection with the details of the parable, the Lord made two great statements. One of them in Mark's Gospel, chapter 4 and verse 24, where he simply said, "Take heed what ye hear." And that's something that we must always keep in mind as people, as a congregation. Take heed what ye hear. We need to be careful what it is that we're listening to, especially when it comes to preaching. Because sadly, not everybody who stands behind this sacred desk is reliable as far as his preaching is concerned. There are men, frankly, who preach false doctrine. And the Word of God warns us about that, that there would be people like that. In fact, the Apostle Paul said to the church at Ephesus, to the elders at Ephesus, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And he was talking about men who would preach another gospel and a false message. So this word, "Take heed what ye hear," is always relevant. So it is important which church you go to. Many years ago, there was a preacher, famous, well-known evangelist, who used to tell people at the end of his crusades, "Go to the church of your choice." Well, that's unscriptural. That's not biblical. It does matter. It does matter what you hear. And if you're going to a place where you hear the wrong thing, then I would advise you not to go there. There are folks, sadly, even as I speak this morning, and they're listening to a false message delivered by a false messenger. Thank God that's not true of all churches, but it is true of many. But there's a second statement connected with the parable, and you find it in Luke's Gospel, in his version of that story, in Luke chapter 8 and verse 18. Again, it's the Lord Jesus speaking, and he says here, "Take heed, therefore, how ye hear." So remember he said, "Take heed what ye hear." Now he's saying, "Take heed how ye hear." And I think that this is particularly relevant in connection with the parable. The meaning of the story that Christ told of the sower who sowed the seed on four types of ground is that there are four kinds of hearer. There are four different kinds of listener to God's word. Or you might say there are four ways of hearing the gospel. And it is not only important that what you hear be the word of God, it's not only vital that you listen to the truth, but there has to be more than that. It matters very greatly how you hear. Because it's possible to hear a true message. It's possible to listen to an accurate message, to hear God's word, and still be lost. In the Epistle of James, in chapter 1, he says, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." And then he says this, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." It is really important how you hear. And as the seed of God's truth is sown through the gospel message, there are four types of hearer. I want us to consider them very simply today. In Matthew's Gospel, in chapter 13 and in verse 3, the Lord Jesus said, "Behold, a sower went forth to sow." You can imagine a man in those days, a farmer with a big basket full of seed, and he's just walking around scattering the seed as he goes, just throwing it everywhere. The sower went forth to sow. And verse 4 says, "When he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up." This was trampled ground. This was earth that people had been walking on, a pathway, if you like. And as the seed fell onto that walkway, that pathway, the birds were watching, as they always do when you're sowing your seeds. And the birds descended and took that seed away just as soon as it was sown. And the Lord said there's a lesson in that. And Matthew 13 gives the interpretation. From verse 18, the Lord said, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower." Here's the interpretation. Here's the meaning of it. Verse 19, "When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside." So here is the first type of hearer, and we would refer to that person as a careless hearer. A careless hearer. Now, something I note as I read this parable, whether it be in Matthew, in Mark, or in Luke, in all four cases where the seed is sown, it's the same seed. It's exactly the same seed. It's not that there was an inferior seed sown in one place and maybe a little bit better seed and then better and all the way up to the high quality seed. No, all of the seed that was sown was high quality seed. There's nothing wrong with it. Now, in the three instances where no fruit was born, that's the first three types of ground, the problem undoubtedly is with the soil and not with the seed. So there's a lesson there. And it's a very simple lesson. There's nothing wrong with the seed of God's word. There's nothing wrong with the scripture. It is the word of God. By the way, that's the interpretation that's given in the parable. It's called, in Matthew's Gospel, verse 19 of chapter 13, the word of the kingdom. But when you come to Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, you'll see that it says in verse 14, the sower soweth the word. And then Luke goes a little bit further, and he tells us in Luke chapter 8 that the seed is the word of God. Luke chapter 8, verse 11. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. So there's nothing wrong with the seed. The problem is with the sinner. The problem is with the soil of the heart. Now, we're looking at the first type of hearer. And in that case, we're taught by Jesus that the word of God, the seed of the gospel, makes no impression at all on that person, because just as soon as the seed is sown, Satan snatches it away. He is pictured in the fowls of the air, or the birds. So the next time you see your green bean seeds getting plucked up by those crows in your garden, you say, that's a picture of the devil. That's just what the devil does. He takes away the seed before it ever gets a chance to germinate in the heart. You might say the gospel goes in one ear and out the other. People just forget all that they've heard. There's an example of that type of hearer. Even in the scripture, we read about him in the book of Acts, chapter 18, in verse 17. The Bible records there, "Then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. And Gallio cared for none of those things." Now, who was Gallio? Verse 12 tells us he was the deputy of Achaia. He was a ruler. He was a statesman at the time. But he didn't care what was happening to God's people. He didn't care about the word that was being preached by Paul and others. And that's a reflection of the ideas and of the attitude of many people. There are many who never hear sermons preached. But there are many who do hear sermons preached, but they pay no attention whatsoever to what is said. It may be that the devil makes sure that when they're listening to God's word, they're not really listening to it, because he brings other matters into their minds. Maybe there's something going on in their lives, something that took place yesterday, or something that they're going to have to attend to tomorrow or later this week, and that's what they think about. That's what their minds are focused upon. They're not really paying attention at all to the word of God. Careless hearers. Luke chapter 8 and verse 12 speaks in this way about such. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil. And he's described in Mark's version of it as Satan. He's described in Matthew's version of it as the wicked one. It's the same person, the wicked one, Satan, the devil. And taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. That's the one thing that Satan doesn't want to happen to you, is that you believe with your heart and are saved. That's what he's in the business of keeping people from doing, from coming to Christ, from having their lives and hearts radically altered and changed. Careless hearers of the word. It's a sad thing that many have no interest at all in the word of God. Some time ago I tried to give one of my gospel calendars at New Year time to a friend, to an acquaintance, and he very politely but firmly refused it. Didn't want it. Not interested in it. I have my own thoughts. I have my own beliefs. That was the attitude. No conviction, no concern. Total indifference to the word of God. May there be none like that here. I pray that it will not be so. But that God would enable you and help you to pay attention to the gospel. To pay attention to the most important message that you will ever hear in your life. Now, those of us who are the Lord's people, who are saved by God's grace, and I trust that there are many like that here, we need to remember to pray for the preaching of God's word as it goes forth in services like this. That's very important. We know that there is a sense in which the devil was bound by Christ at Calvary. I believe that with all my heart. The devil is a defeated foe. But I also happen to believe that we need to pray that the devil would be hindered as the word of God goes forth. Remember how Paul exhorted the Thessalonians. Here's what he said to them. We took this as a motto text a couple of years ago, as I recall. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 from verse number 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us. And Paul was talking about himself and others who preach the word. Brethren, pray for us. What are we to pray? That the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. The idea is God making a highway for his word, that it might run upon wheels. The Greek language brings that out very well. The prayer is that the word of the Lord may run. That it may run and have free course, that there be nothing to hinder the forward movement of God's word, and that it might be glorified in men and women's hearts being changed. That's what we need to pray for. You know, the best attender at church, the very best attender at church is the devil. He never misses. He's always there. And he's there to do the same thing every time, which is to snatch away the word, to snatch away the seed out of hearts. And he doesn't mind how he does it. We need to pray that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified in the hearts of sinners. That the Lord would deliver people from carelessness in hearing. But as we move along, there's a second type of hearer. And I would refer to that person as a casual hearer. Look with me at what it says here in Matthew 13 from verse 5. It says, some fell upon stony places. Some of the seed fell onto very, very shallow ground. That's the idea here. It's not that it was just a sheet of rock. It was actually a sheet of rock covered with a very thin veneer of soil. And that's brought out very well if you compare the parable and how Mark describes it and how Luke describes it. It's referred to here, for example, as stony places in Matthew 13. But in Mark, it's called stony ground and where there's not much depth of earth. And when you come to Luke's Gospel and the chapter 8, there's a different description given, but it's the same idea because it says, some fell upon a rock. Verse 6 of Luke 8. Some of the seed fell on a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. You see, the ground couldn't retain the water because there's hardly any soil. Underneath it was all a sheet of rock. Kind of like up where I live. They don't call it Slatington for nothing up there, you know, because the ground is full of that sheet rock stuff. It would be better off on the tile of somebody's roof rather than in my garden. You have to get rid of that stuff in order for things to grow. You can imagine if you were trying to grow a garden and there's this lovely dark soil, but about half an inch down is a sheet of rock. Nothing's going to grow. At least it's not going to last. That's the idea here. And you see as we read on in Matthew 13, that when the seed falls into that ground, the stony places where there's not much earth, forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. So we think immediately of superficiality. We think immediately of something that's on the surface only. And then it goes on, and when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And as the Lord gives the interpretation in verses 16 and 17 of Mark chapter 4, he says, these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. They like it. But he goes on, they have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Think about the word immediately that's used there. Or as it's used in Matthew, the word anon, A-N-O-N, it means the same thing. Immediately, forthwith, straightway, anon. They're all words that mean the same thing. The idea is that the seed is sown in that ground and it withers just as quick as it springs up. Because there's no depth. There's absolutely no depth to the ground. And there's a lot of Christianity today, friends, that is merely superficial. It's on the surface. People quickly make a profession, sometimes because they're encouraged into it or cajoled into it. They make a decision, as the buzzword is. A decision for Christ. And just as quickly as they make that profession and that decision, they go away again and you never see them again. They have no interest in the things of God. They have no interest in prayer, no interest in anything to do with the scriptures. But if you meet them someplace and you talk to them about these things, they'll say, oh, I got saved at such and such a time so many, many years ago. But actually, no heart work was ever really done. No real work of conviction of sin was ever wrought. There was no true repentance. It was just a little easy profession where you sign a card at the end and put the date on it and tell everybody that's when you got saved. Now, I'm not saying there are not people who have been saved in those circumstances. There absolutely have. But I don't want to be resting on a bit of paper with my name on it unless it's God's paper with God's writing on it, which is the Scriptures. With many, I'm afraid that's all it is, an empty profession with no real possession of Christ. And you will notice how this kind of hearer is referred to. I call him the casual hearer. He's referred to by the Lord Jesus Christ as one who receives the seed with joy. Matthew 13, verse 20. He that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon, immediately, with joy receiveth it. Again, Mark's version of that is that they immediately receive it with gladness. Mark chapter 4, verse 16. And then in Luke's Gospel, in that 8th chapter, the Lord refers to this person as one who receives the word with joy. So there you have it. Joy or gladness. Now you know joy or gladness is an emotion. And there is a place for emotion where the gospel is concerned. I'm very glad about that. There are things that move me to tears. There are things that cause me to feel a real tug at my heart in regard to the things of the Lord. But I want to tell you something. You can shed tears. And if that's all it is, it's just an outward emotion without a work of grace being wrought in your heart. But that's not salvation. You can be emotionally affected without your heart and your life really being affected. But when the Word of God gets deep down into your soul, there is repentance for sin. There's sorrow for sin. There's a desire to have done with sin and to run away from sin. You don't become sinless. But you don't want to sin anymore. That's the thing. When there's a real change wrought within your heart. A casual hearer does not have what we would call the root of the matter in him. I'm not a great gardener, but I've discovered something. If the root is non-existent, or if the root is pulled up, nothing's growing. If there's no root, there's going to be no fruit. Simple as that. And a casual hearer is one who hasn't got the root of the matter in him. Therefore, anything that appears above the surface is not going to last very long. One time I had this idea of growing potatoes. Of course, they grow millions of them in Ireland. Good climate for growing potatoes. And a man in my first church gave me all these wonderful little seed potatoes. So I was going to have a wonderful crop of potatoes. I had a place all prepared for them to grow. Dug up the ground, put these potatoes in, and watched for it all to grow. Boy, did there appear something on the surface. I mean, those things were up like this within, seemed like days. And I thought this was wonderful. And of course, whenever I came to dig the things up, they were like marbles, like little tiny things. I don't even think we got one dinner out of the garden. And my friend who had given me the seed potato, oh, he said, I know what the problem is. The problem is there's too much nitrogen in your soil. And so what you've got is all tops. And if you're a gardener, you know what that means. When it's all tops, that means that that's what it is. It's all on the surface and there's nothing underneath. I want to tell you, that's an illustration of spiritual things. And a lot of times what you have is a lot of tops, a lot of outward appearance, a lot of outward profession, and a lot of talk, and not so much reality on the inside. And our Lord tells us, for example, in Mark's version, about hearing the gospel gladly, but not truly being saved. And as you go further over in that gospel of Mark, just two chapters to Mark chapter 6, the Lord gives an example of this in a man who was a king called Herod. And the Bible says of Herod that he was afraid of John the Baptist. He knew there was something about John that was different. He was a preacher.
And he was a very faithful preacher too, because he told this man the truth. He said, look, Herod, I know that what you did was wrong, because you took your brother's wife, your sister-in-law, and you made her your wife. And that's not right. It's not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Now, she didn't like that very much, Herodias. She was angry about that, but Herod knew that John was speaking the truth, and it says, Mark 6:20, that Herod feared John, knowing he was a just man and unholy, and observed him, and when he heard him, he did many things, and heard him gladly. You know what that means? That means that when he heard John the Baptist preaching, he was convicted by what he heard, and he started rearranging things in his life. He thought, well, I better do something about that. I better stop doing that. He did many things, and he actually enjoyed John's preaching. He heard him gladly. But he wasn't saved. And that was proved out by the subsequent events. Because when the heat came on, and Herodias, his evil wife that he had taken off of his brother, when she wanted John the Baptist put to death, Herod put him to death at her behest, because he didn't want to be on the outs with her. So he made his choice. And it certainly was not a choice for God or for the things of God. You could be a casual hearer. You could even hear the gospel gladly and not be saved. You know, there were people in the day in which Ezekiel preached, and they used to love to come to hear Ezekiel because they thought his voice sounded like a lovely song. They really enjoyed being under his ministry. But as you look at it, you find that their lives weren't changed. The casual hearer is one who doesn't stand the critical test. He only sticks at the Christian life for a very, very brief time because he isn't really a Christian. That's the reality. And that type of hearer is described very well by the Apostle Peter. He gave a very graphic illustration of such a person by using two animals. One is a dog and the other is a hog. He said, 2 Peter chapter 2, from verse 20, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire." Two very graphic illustrations. Have you ever seen a dog returning to its vomit? It's not a very nice thing to watch. But they do it. Do you ever see a sow or a hog, a pig? It's been all cleaned off. You can even put a pink bow around its neck and shave all the hair off of its back. But as soon as it finds that mud hole, boy, it's getting down in there. You know why? Because that's the nature of the beast. That's its natural element. The Lord is using this illustration about people who seem to have known the way of righteousness. They go on for a little while, but then they go back to their natural element. The dog returns to the vomit. The sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Those are not my words. Those are God's words. Oh, that you would not be a casual hearer. A casual hearer that is signified and typified by the rocky ground. But there's a third type of hearer. And I would refer to that one as a carnal hearer. You see, in Matthew's gospel, the Lord says that other seed fell among thorns. Fell among thorns. And the thorns sprung up and choked them. And he gives the illustration, but then he gives the interpretation. In verse 22 of Matthew 13, "He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word," just like the two before him. He hears the same message. and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and Mark tells us, and the lusts of other things entering in. And then Luke uses another description. Luke chapter 8, verse 14. That which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. This kind of a hearer, a carnal hearer, is taken up wholly and completely with this life. They don't give any attention to the life which is to come. It's all about the here and now. Wealth, worldly things, pleasures, possessions, these are the things that take up all of their attention. And folks, that's the average person, isn't it? That's the average person in the world today. Get all you can, and then can all you get. That's the idea. Living for this world and all that is within it. And they are not willing to part with the world and all that is in it. And so God's word gets choked out. And while they might have some semblance of a desire to do the right thing, it does not go very deep. And we have, again, an example of a carnal hearer in the words of Paul to Timothy, where he wrote, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica." Now let me tell you about Demas. Demas was a preacher. Demas is described as a companion of Paul in ministry in the book of Colossians. You'll find Demas referred to in other parts of Scripture. In fact, in Titus chapter 3 and in verse 12, the Bible speaks about some other people that went about with Paul, Artemas and Tychicus and so on. There were various men that accompanied with the apostle, and one of them was Demas. You read about him in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 14. Demas hath forsaken me. Why? Why did he leave Paul? Why did he stop going around with Paul preaching and doing the work of the Lord? Because he loved this present world. There's a hymn which asks the question, "Has the world my heart been keeping? Oh, forgive and rescue me." Is that your problem today? That all your attention, all your focus is on this life rather than the next. The world has your heart. You know, it could be that you believe all that the preacher says, you can't disagree with it, you might even hope to be a Christian someday, but the world has too strong of a hold. It's got too strong of an attraction for you. More of an attraction than Christ does. And that's a natural thing, that's a carnal thing. We're all like that until the Lord takes a dealing with us. When I was saved, it's not so much that I found religion, but that the Lord found me. I was lost, but Jesus found me. Found the sheep that went astray. The fact of the matter is, if the Lord had not sought me out and called me to himself, I would never have sought him. It just wouldn't have happened. I would have continued on down my merry way to hell. And so will you, except the Lord causes you to turn from your sins to Christ. Could I urge you not to let other things keep you from the Savior? There's a story told of two men who were in a boat, and one of them had a very precious diamond. And as those guys sat in that rowing boat, the one with the diamond was throwing it up and down.
catching it, throwing it up and down, catching it, throwing it up and down and catching it. All of a sudden the boat lurched one way, threw it up, flop. That precious diamond had gone down into the brine, never to be seen again. That's just a story. I don't even know if it's a true story. But that's exactly what many people are doing with the most precious thing that they have, which is their soul. They're playing with it. They're throwing it up and down on the edge of the rowing boat. And one of these days it's going to plop into the briny deep. Jesus said, "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Is that your problem? All your attention is on this life rather than on your precious soul and on the life that is to come. You know, the world and its pleasures that Jesus talked about, they're all going to pass away. They're all going to pass away. Everything is going to pass away. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So it tells us in 1 John chapter 2. It goes on to say, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Everything that you might hold dear this side of heaven is passing away. Last November, I went over to Northern Ireland to help my sisters to clear out my late mother and father's home. And I've got to tell you, it really brought it home to me, sitting in that empty house with just those little bits of possessions that they had, that we were now divvying out to each other. You take this, you take that photograph, you take this ornament. There's something you bought, Mom. There's something you bought, Dad. You take that. I thought to myself, these are just things. That's all they are. They're things. And one day, if the Lord doesn't come first, we'll be taken away from those things as well, and somebody else will get them. That's the way it is. There's nothing in this world that's worth living for, really, but Christ. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. That brings me to the fourth type of hearer. It's really good to be able to bring the message to this point rather than leave us with despair. Three types of hearers, none of which brought forth fruit, none of which are saved. The Lord talks about the careful hearer. Look again at Matthew 13. And he tells us, after speaking of the three types of ground, verse 8, "But other," that's other seed, "fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold." To bring forth fruit, good fruit, plentiful fruit, you need good ground. My wife always says, not that old red clay, but that beautiful black loam that we have out there in Iowa. That grows really good stuff. Those farmers are very fortunate, by the way, to have such land. It brings forth fruit. It's all about the type of ground that the seed is sown into. And the Lord gives the interpretation of this good ground. He says, "But he that receives seed into the good ground," Matthew 13:23, "is he that heareth the word and understandeth it." You know, the gospel doesn't bypass your understanding. That's why I think it's important for people to know what I'm talking about. I really hate it when someone says, "I really like your message, Pastor, but it went way over my head." I don't want that to happen. I want to be a preacher like Jesus was. The Bible says the common people heard him gladly. The common people, the ordinary people, heard him gladly. They understood what he was saying. Some of them understood it only too well. But then it says,
as well as understanding it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30, different amounts of fruitfulness, but the common denominator being fruit. Fruit from the good ground, sown with the proper seed. Think about it, all four of these hear the word, but in only one case does it bear fruit. Now I know that that doesn't necessarily work out in percentage terms, but can you imagine for every four hearers, there's only one that's truly saved? That's a very scary thought. This is what sets apart a true believer in Christ from all others. It's not the talk. It's not the profession. It's not the words of the lips merely, but he bears fruit. Fruit. You know, one thing about fruit, it can be seen, and sometimes it can be smelt as well. Fruit. When something brings forth fruit, that's a really blessed thing. That's a really encouraging thing for the gardener, for the husbandman, for the farmer. That's what he wants to do. He wants to see fruitfulness from his land. And the believer in Christ is one who brings forth fruits meet for repentance, and he also brings forth in his life, to one degree or other, the fruit of the Spirit. What am I saying? I'm saying that if you are a true Christian, if you are a careful hearer, the evidence of that is going to be seen in your life. Not perfectly. Those of us who are the Lord's wish we could be perfect. Some of us maybe think we are, but we're not. We're far from it. I do not agree with that bumper sticker which says, I'm not perfect, but I'm so close, it's scary. It's not true. It isn't true. We're far from perfect. But if we are truly the Lord's, there's going to be that in our lives which other people can see, as well as the Lord seeing it, and they're going to say, that person, there's something different about that person. Something's happened to that person. I can't put my finger on it. I can't explain it, maybe, but I know that something's happened to that person. There's been a change. There's been a change. And oh, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought, the hymn writer said, since Jesus came into my heart. It's not that I turned over a new leaf. It's not that I decided I'm going to go a different direction. It is that Jesus came into my heart. That's it. They took knowledge of them, the Bible says, that they had been with Jesus. It's not that they just started going to church, but they've been changed by a work of grace. Christ has been received really and truly into their heart and life. And so there's fruit that can be seen. You know, fruit is something that we examine. We can examine fruit. We can look at it. We can handle fruit. We can smell it. We can taste it. We make judgments about fruit based upon what we see and what we smell, what we taste. And that's what people are doing with Christians. And by the way, that's what the Lord is also doing. The Lord is looking for fruit. Matthew chapter 7, from verse 17, the Lord said, even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. A corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. By their fruits. Oh, friends, there's something more than just hearing the word week after week that is needed. There has to be a bringing forth of good fruit. What kind of a hearer are you? The Apostle Paul talked about those who hear in different ways. And with this I want to finish. In Hebrews chapter 4, he said from verse 1, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. See that? Same message. But the word preached did not profit them. It didn't do them any good. Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Oh, that the hearing of God's word would profit you. That you would not remain in unbelief. But that God would make your heart the good ground. To use the words of Jesus, that you might believe and be saved. The very thing the devil doesn't want. That you might believe and be saved. And Christian, remember that there are different types of hearer when you give out the gospel. Everybody's not going to be saved. And also remember that the preacher, whoever he is, whatever abilities he might think he has or doesn't have, he can scatter the seed, but he can't make it grow. God alone can give the increase. And so let us just be faithful. Let's sow beside all waters, sowing the gospel seed. And the Lord will bring about a situation where the good ground will produce fruit. May it be so, for his name's sake. Amen.